Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So stocks continue to drop and drop and drop. And we've talked about a potential retest, a retest of those lows posted in mid-June. And in fact, as of the taping of this Gains podcast, the Dow Transports just closed today to a fresh low of 12,778.72. The Dow theory is bearish, and there appears to be more downside for stocks. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. Hey, real quick, before we get started, jot down these two levels. We will be referencing them quite a bit throughout the podcast. The first one is the Dow Industrial lows put in on June 17th, and that level is 29,888.78. And just today, as of the taping of this podcast, the Dow Transports posted a fresh low of 12,778.72, and that was just put in today on September 20th. So keep note of those two levels. We'll be referencing them throughout the discussion. All right, let's bring on Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. He's author of the book Winning with the Dow's Losers. And be sure to check out his website, upsidestocks.com. Well, Chuck, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Great to be here, Andy. Thanks for having me.
We talked Dow Theory, as we both know, bearish, and we're approaching the lows for a potential retest fast. I just gave those levels we're watching to the Gains listeners. So pick it up there, Chuck.
Yeah, as you kind of alluded to, Andy, the Dow Theory looks at the movement of the Dow Jones Transportation Average and the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And a tenet of the Dow Theory is that you see those two averages moving in sync and confirming one another directionally. What we had been looking at is, will the averages hold those June 17th lows, which were the near lows and the recent lows and important lows from a Dow Theory perspective? Basically, if both of the averages close below the June 17th lows, that would simply reconfirm the bear market. In other words, that would kind of say, okay, this is still definitely a bear market. And you probably would see some selling come in and see the market fall further. On the other hand, what you need to happen for a new bull market is the previous lows hold, and then both averages rally above the recent rally highs, which in that case are the August highs. So we're in that first phase of whether or not you're going to have a trend change. And in order to have that, you need to have at least one of the Dow averages hold those June lows. As you mentioned, the Dow Transports did take out those lows on a close. So now all eyes are on the industrials to see if they can hold the June 17th low, which is 29,888.78. Will it hold that low and then both of the averages rebound and go above those August highs? Or are the industrials going to take that low out? And if they do take that low out on a close, that would reconfirm the bear market and probably lead to further selling. So, you know, it looks the market feels pretty heavy here. And, you know, it's going to be challenging for those June 17th lows to hold in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I will say that throughout the history of the Dow Theory, it is not unusual to see one average go to a new low that is not confirmed by the other, and that oftentimes can signal a pending change in the trend from bearish to bullish. So, you know, all is not lost if you're a bull out there wondering if this market can muster a bull market pivot here. But the first step in that is those Dow Industrials have to hold that June 17th low, which again is 29,888.78.
So as mentioned, the Dow Transports have already closed at fresh lows. And you were talking about one side of the equation, just like the Dow Transports, breaking lower, and the other side of the equation, the Dow Industrials, still holding their levels, at least for the time being. If you would see maybe the transports aggressively move higher, the industrials hold their levels, does that at least give the bulls some hope?
It would, but it's probably a bit discouraging that of the two averages that did not hold the low,
that the leading indicator ended up going below.
Right, is the Dow Transports, which you know is a leading indicator, often kind of the canary in the coal mine. And from an economic standpoint, the Dow Transports are probably, in my opinion, the most economically sensitive index there is. So the fact that they are the ones that have broke the new lows and saw follow through on the downside today, following that breakthrough new lows, and the fact that they're very economically sensitive, that doesn't bode well for the industrials' ability to hold that June 17th low. We'll see. So it's going to be challenging for the industrials to hold those June 17th lows.
As of the taping of this, and we had Friday, they posted, the Dow Transports posted those lows. We've had further follow through today. So the new level for the Dow Transports on the downside, on the low end, is now at its closing price today, which I have as 12,778.72. So yeah,
that's,
I guess,
correct.
With the follow through, that's not very bullish at all.
No, it's not. And today's action wasn't very bullish. Yes, the market did come off its lows for the day, but you still had a pretty ugly day. And again, people are kind of waiting to see what the Fed's going to do, and if it's going to be 75 basis points, or are they going to be aggressive and do 100 basis points? I kind of would like to see, if for no other reason, 100 basis points, to see how the market reacts to that. Because, ultimately what you, a piece of a bottoming process is that the market stops going down on what is perceived to be bad news. And that would be a pretty good jolt of quote bad news if they boost by 100 basis points, and it would kind of give me some idea where we are in things in terms of the market discounting all the bad news out there.
It could be one of those things too. If you're bearish right now and you kind of got the pile on kind of leaning towards the bearish, there's part of me that wouldn't be surprised that after they pull the bandage, it's a sell the news kind of thing, and stocks in fact do take off because now they've cleared this hurdle.
Well, it's very possible. And when you're playing kind of a very, very short term game, those are the risks that you run, is that you've had a lot of piling on here as you've gone to, at least the transports have gone to new lows, a lot of bearishness is out there. I'm sure short selling has picked up, which all sets the table for these really aggressive snapback rallies that can occur during bear markets. So if you're playing the real, real short game, you need to be careful out there, because it's a heavy market. The momentum seems to be to the downside, but those snapbacks during bear markets, such as the case as pullbacks during bull markets, can be very, very painful, very aggressive, and very sharp. They tend to be brief, but they can inflict some pain on you if you're on the short side of this market.
I think it would be refreshing for the Fed to actually go the full point, and let's clear some of the inflation concern, which I actually see, and I would love to get your take on this too. I see inflation as a way bigger negative for the economy and things to come than an actual slowdown because of monetary policy. I just would love to get your take on that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, if there's one thing that's really making it difficult to analyze this market is the inflation factor. I mean, if you think about it, Andy, I mean, most of the recessions and quote bear markets that we've had since the mid 80s have been facilitated by kind of a normal economic cycle where you have kind of, you know, a growing economy. The economy then kind of gets a little overheated. The Fed comes in, raises rates. Things taper off. Earnings go down. Then earnings comparisons get easier. Stocks start coming back. The market starts coming back. And then you have an initiation of a new bull market. That cycle has been pretty traditional, and it happens. And it's happened a number of times since the mid-80s. But one thing that hasn't been involved in any of those bear markets has been running inflation at, you know, 8% plus. And that is the wild card that is different now than it has really been for 40 years. And, you know, there are not many people that have been, you know, putzing around in these markets for 40 years. I have. But, you know, it's still very difficult to kind of calibrate what this means and if this persists. I mean, you know, you go back to the 70s and, you know, this era of stagflation where you had rising inflation and you had a crappy economy. And that it doesn't get any worse for stocks than that. And that's the big fear, that that's what we ultimately will drift into, that the Fed's actions while raising rates will definitely slow the economy. But what will it do to inflation? Are they going to be able to get inflation without just really, you know, going Volcker on the economy and having to raise rates just in an insanely high levels? And, you know, that's the threat right now. And ultimately, you know, we listen to what the market tells us by how it behaves at crucial downside points. And if those downside points are taken out, that, you know, it means the market's not fully discounting the pain that's probably down the road here. So that's why it's so important to kind of see how markets respond around these kind of pivot points.
All right, we're going to hit Chuck up with advice for individual investors when we get back from a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. As always, I've been told that's podcast gold. I'd appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back with Chuck after the break.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, back with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. He's author of the book Winning with the Dow's Losers. And check out his website, upsidestocks.com. And, you know, as we were going to the break, Chuck, I was teasing about how the individual investor plays this. What's your advice for the individual investor who is a little nervous right now?
Yeah, some of them are a lot nervous right now. I sound a bit like a broken record, but I mean, at the end of the day, I think the easiest way, the simplest way, the consistent way of building wealth is really trying to play the long game and making sure that your portfolio is allocated so you're not in the position of trying to, you know, dart in and out of the market if that's your thing. On the other hand, if you're a trader, quite frankly, these markets are probably kind of gold for you because you're getting the kind of volatility that you like, and hopefully you can play each side of the market swings here. I find that very difficult to do consistently over time, but there are some people that are better at it. But I prefer to kind of play the long game where you take advantage of the market's long-term uptrend. You know, you go back to 1926, stocks have risen on average 3 out of every 4 years. There hasn't been a 10-year or 20-year rolling period in the market since 1926 that you would have lost money. And, you know, for the, 5-year rolling periods, 10-year rolling periods, you're pretty much going to make money, you know, 80 to 90% of the time. So the bottom line is, how do you capture that? And you capture that by kind of playing the long game, staying the course, resisting the urge to aggressively try to figure that you're going to be able to time these kind of moves in the market, and importantly, take advantage of declines when they're in stocks that you're interested in. And, you're probably not going to buy them at the bottom, but at least you know you're not buying them at the top right now. So that's the way I think individual investors should play it. Now, how they typically do it, though, is, you know, panic sets in, they can't take it, and they decide that they need to get out of the market and regroup, which, you know, it's far for me to say that's something that somebody shouldn't do. But I can tell you anecdotally and just over the years of experience that I've had that typically investors reach that pain threshold precisely at the time when they should be buying, not selling, precisely at the time when markets tend to be bottoming. So just be very careful in terms of being reactive in these market conditions and try to condition yourself to where you're at least putting some money into the market, whether that's in your 401k plan, whether that's in reinvesting dividends, some way to take advantage of these declines. Because while it may not feel great now, you know, 2-3 years from now, you're going to be awfully glad you did it. Trust me.
And that's an important point to make here is the long-term stock market. You see gains like you just spoke to, you know, over 5-10 year periods, it's almost impossible to lose money. And if you go farther out than that, it is impossible to lose money.
Yeah,
we're talking broad. I mean, you can lose money on individual stocks too. That's what things do happen, but just as a broad look at markets.
Right. I mean, the past is not always prologue, and maybe, you know, this time will be different, and maybe we go into a 10-year decline or a 10-year, you know, flat period for the market. It has happened in the past. But, you know, investing is playing percentages and probabilities. And the probability is that, you know, when you have bear markets, they ultimately do, resolve themselves. It's not without pain, but the recoveries have historically, and especially in recent history, been fairly, fairly quick. And it seems a lot better way to try to be a long-term investor than trying to kind of dart in and out. Because, you know, you might get it right a time or two, but the time you're wrong and you're out when the market takes off is when you really feel the pain, and it's tough. It's just really difficult to catch up. And, that's the thing that investors should be kind of cautious about right now.
Well, you know, gains listeners, a lot of us have a little more risk tolerance, so it's UpsideStocks.com time. And I know you always have a couple sleepers in there. For those who are new to UpsideStocks.com, just explain real quick what they are, how they're a little different, and how what makes these picks a little unique. And then let's talk about a couple companies that might catch your eye as at least a decent environment, even in these down markets.
Yeah, UpsideStocks.com is the website for an investment newsletter that our publishing arm publishes called Upside, and it focuses on small and, to a lesser extent, mid-sized companies. So these are companies, in many cases, they're not household names. They're not on the radar of big institutional firms, but there are companies that are small, that are growing. We focus on companies that have a higher quality level, so they have decent finances, they have consistent, or at least hopefully they have consistent track records, they are making money, and those are the stocks that we kind of uncover in that particular newsletter. Some names that, you know, are currently ranked pretty well among our recommendations. One of those companies is a small oil company, Matador Resources, symbol is MTDR. It's a small energy exploration company. I think that's a market that I still want to have exposure in, and to do it through a small cap stock like Matador is an interesting way to do that. One more name I'll give you is in a kind of a pretty, controversial area, but it's a stock that's hung in there okay in that space. And the controversial area is semiconductor equipment manufacturing. And the name of the company is Axcelis Technologies, ACLS. And the company manufactures various equipment and materials for semiconductor, creating semiconductors. It's has hung in there pretty well, which I think is a good positive when you look at how it's performed relative to other companies in that space. And I think that's a tribute to the strength of the company and its underlying business. It's actually been on the plus side over the last 52 weeks. It's up 28% versus a 10% decline in the S&P 500. So you're getting some good relative strength in a stock in a group that has not been showing good relative strength. And I kind of like to see stocks holding up in down groups. They typically do pretty well when things rebound in that group. So those are two stocks. That's Matador, MTDR. And Matador trades for about $55 a share. And Axcelis Technologies, ACLS, and that trades for about $61 a share.
And on the energy front, where do you think energy has peaked and will slowly move lower? Or do you think that conditions are really good for the space and that these stocks will do well going forward with eventual, higher energy prices that are here to stay?
I think for the time being, you're probably seeing energy range bound here between, say, 80 on the downside and maybe 110 on the upside. The good news is at $80, these companies can $80 a barrel. These companies can do quite well at that. So I don't know if we'll see the peak again, but I don't know if that necessarily going forward for these companies make some bad bets. Again, they can still have pretty prodigious cash flows based on, 80 plus barrel of oil here. So I think the group is still worth having.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, they don't even have to peak. I mean, at these higher prices, say, versus 2 years ago, companies like that will do just fine in an environment where energy prices are currently where they're at. Regardless of even if they're much higher. And then on the semiconductor front, we always talk about supply chain. There's also concern, like one of the big semiconductor companies is Taiwan Semiconductor, and there's some geopolitical risk there. What do you think about the semiconductor space at large? And, there has been supply chain issues, and we've heard about all the issues with electronic and auto companies not being able to get chips and that kind of thing. You got to think that the conditions can't be too bad for producers of those.
Now, it's kind of a tale of two stories there. On the one hand, long-term demand is going to be huge for semiconductors. There's no getting around that. I mean, they're in everything, and that's only going to continue to grow as you have more devices connecting to the Internet of Things. And I mean, it's just everything. Probably even humans at some point, you and me, Andy, at some point, will probably have semiconductors installed in us for some reason. We'll have chips. So demand, long-term demand story is very strong. The problem is on the short side, and a lot of it is geopolitical. I mean, the big, a risk that is being factored into these stocks is, we're in this kind of technological war with China, and Taiwan's kind of in the middle of that. What if tomorrow, the U.S. government says, you're not selling any of this manufacturing equipment to China anymore? Then there you just wipe out one of the major customers. And is that a possibility? Yeah, it's a possibility. And so you have that overhang of those sorts of geopolitical supply side issues hanging over these stocks. And it's one of the reasons why, these stocks have just gotten decimated. I mean, another on a larger scale, a company that we have followed is Applied Materials, and the stock's gone from 167 to 88. I mean, it's basically been cut in half. Earnings are going to be pretty solid. I expect earnings to be pretty solid next year, and I think the stock trades at about 11 times earnings. I mean, these are cheap valuations, but the concern is that, we get into a further heating of this war with China, whether it's technological, whether it's real, if in fact they decide to invade Taiwan, and what does that mean for these companies who provide this technology and their equipment to China? So that's a big, that is a risk. There's no doubt about it. And you know, hopefully it's one that's already factored into the stocks, but you never know that until it actually occurs and you see how the stocks behave.
Wanted to talk to you about not getting the washout the last time we were on those June lows. And this is what makes me so bearish, Chuck. Those lows were put in June. The Dow Industrials was on the 17th. And then immediately the market was, you know, ready to buy. And we saw stocks move off of those lows, you know, pretty aggressively. What does that indicate about the market now? Because it just didn't feel like you had that washout. You always talk about, you know, people just giving up, throwing in the towel. Usually they do that at the bottom, as you just spoke to earlier. We didn't see that. And anybody who was on the sideline seemed to just jump immediately back in and became bullish again. That washout we didn't see. Do we need that? That's why I've been bearish.
Yeah, I think we do. Okay. I think we do. I think there were people, and to tell you the truth, I was probably kind of enthusiastic about that rally as well. It didn't change the direction of the Dow theory, but it did. I thought it was robust enough that perhaps it would challenge the primary trend from bearish to bullish. But, you know, I think a lot of us, and me included, were kind of thinking back to the pretty quick rebounds that we saw in 2020 after the market debacle and thinking that, okay, this had lasted long enough and was ready to go up. I think folks that were kind of anticipating that the bottom was in, hadn't really anticipated the fact that, you know, if you go back, it's not unusual for bear markets. I mean, you go back to 2008, 2009, you go back to 2020. I mean, the market just got crushed in those bear markets. I mean, it was down 30, 35, 40%. To think that this bear market would be pretty shallow, it only maybe in the Dow of 16, 17%, and in the S&P of 20, 22%, and not 30 or 35%, especially with, you know, inflation as part of the problem, you know, that might have been a little foolhardy. So, you know, getting back to your thing, yeah, we probably do need a washout, and we probably need to see, you know, the S&P 500 down 25, 30%, you know, to really get to a point where you say, okay, this is a full metal bear market, and, you know, let's start building the base from here. So, you know, it was probably a little premature to expect, like, okay, well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down about 17-18%. That's all we're going to get here, and it's onward and upward. And that hasn't been the case yet. We'll see. But, yeah, we probably need more of a washout. And if those lows get taken out, if that low gets taken out in the S&P and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, those June lows, you know, that'll set up for a pretty good washout. And then maybe we can kind of look and see where things are at that point.
As we wrap up today's gains episode, what do you want to have people take away? You know, we've established the levels. We're in a wait and see. We're a lot closer to the downside than we were even the last time we talked. What's your takeaway today?
Yeah, I think the takeaway is it's going to be challenging for the industrials to hold that low. And my guess is, you know, probability says that it probably is going to take out that low. If and when it does take out that low and you get some significant selling coming into the market, that is not the time to be dumping your portfolio. Is keep your head, look for opportunities maybe to deploy some of the cash that you have built up. You don't have to get crazy. I'm not saying you put it all in. But those are the sorts of things when you need to kind of start thinking a little bit more about building the portfolio for 3-4 years and not necessarily what's going to happen over the next three to four months. Again, it's not easy. You're probably going to be early. You're probably going to feel dumb because you're early. But the fact of the matter is, at some point here, you have to start kind of feeding money back in. And those kind of washout markets periods tend to represent a pretty good time to start the ball rolling.
Yeah, and it's not about making quick money, even though as a gains guy, I don't know why I'm saying that. But no, it's not about making quick money. It's about building wealth long term, and I think that's a key takeaway. Hey, big thanks to Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond, author of the book Winning with the Dow's Losers, and give us that website. You gave us two picks today, MTDR and ACLS. Give us that website, Chuck.
Yeah, that website is upsidestocks.com.
All right, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We are back on Wednesday, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.